this. And we have just come through the Resurrection Sunday. Last Sunday, I think. Yeah. And the crucifixion, the resurrection, those things. And as I looked at this and thought about this and studied about it, I saw something else that I hadn't seen before. I mean, we've known about it, but I don't know if we actually put two and two together and come up with four on this. We're going to be looking at some different verses, but the first verse we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I've kind of entitled this message, Christ and our crucifixion. Christ's crucifixion and our crucifixion. But we're going to look and we're going to start with Hebrews 12 and 2 as we talk about Jesus here and see what we can learn from the Word of God. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Dear Jesus, we ask as we open up the Holy Scriptures that you guide and direct and let us see some wonders for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, for the joy that was set before him. Talking about Jesus Christ. He endured the cross. What joy? What brings joy to Jesus? Remember we studied in John chapter 15 about the vine. How that your fruit remaineth and that you follow his commandments, and his joy is seeing people get saved. That brings the greatest joy to Jesus is seeing people get saved. Remember the stories of the 99 and the one sheep. And when he found him, there was great rejoicing in the presence of the angels. It talks about finding that lost one. The lost coin, the woman swept and cleaned her house. It says, likewise, for the one sinner to repent, there's joy in the presence of the angels. The prodigal son is also in that chapter about him coming home and the joy and the celebration and the feast they had. My son was dead and now he's alive. A great excitement, a great joy. When people get saved, there is shouting and joy and excitement in heaven. And that's what brings joy to Jesus. Now it says here, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Crucifixion is one of the most painful, very slow, excruciating deaths that there is. Death by crucifixion is one of the cruelest forms of execution that one human being can put upon another. There is no type of torture or death or killing or anything that is as painful and as long-lasting as the crucifixion is. Today, when we execute someone, we have to do it mercifully. We have to let them not have any pain. When they inject them, they have to put them to sleep before the poison kills them. You know, all of these things trying to make their death less painful, no matter what they did, what they've done to people. But that wasn't the way. And I personally believe, and the Bible teaches, that capital punishment is a deterrent. And it works. They say, well, it's worse off spending a life in prison. No. Why do they do a plea bargain? So they don't have to die, so they can get some time in prison. Just doesn't make sense. But anyway, for Jesus to go to the cross and went through what he did on the crucifixion, what there was a reason for the joy that was in the future, he endured the cross. Now, go with me to Titus. If you're in Hebrews, back up in your Bible, and you'll come to Philemon, and then you'll come to Titus. Just right before Hebrews. It was in Hebrews. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. The cross came before the empty tomb. If there was no crucifixion, there would be no empty tomb. If there was no crucifixion, Jesus would not be sitting down at the right hand of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. But look in verse 13 to get this in context. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope, or the coming of Jesus, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's one and the same, God and our Savior, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. If there was no cross, there would be no redemption. He gave Himself for us, not for Him, so that He might redeem us, all of us, from all iniquity. He did that to buy us back, redeem us back because we're sold out to sin. Like a redemption. And purified what? Unto Himself, unto Jesus, a peculiar people. You are supposed to be a peculiar people. Peculiar is not bad. Peculiar is a good thing. It means you're different from the rest of the world. You are unique and special and unusual because you have been purified by the cross and the empty tomb of all of your iniquities, and He has made you a peculiar people unto Him, unto Jesus. Purified. Purified. Made holy. Made separated from sin. Made a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Zealous means you're gung-ho. You want to go for it. You want to do it. You have energy about you. You have a zeal behind you. You got your B12 or whatever it is. You got a shot from the hot shot that used to do the old cows. But you've got a zeal in you that you want of good works. A lot of people have zeal, but they have zeal for the wrong thing. God purified Himself, a peculiar people, redeemed us from all iniquity, so we can be zealous of good works. He gave Himself for that, for the joy of the cross. What He's going to have, He endured the cross. No cross. None of these things. Look in Ephesians. You're in Titus. Back up to Ephesians. Go past all the T's, back towards the front of your Bible. You'll come to Philippians, and then you'll come to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. These are the things for the joy that was set before Him. Jesus went to the cross for you and me, for the joy that was set before Him, so He could have a people that would love Him. Ephesians chapter 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The church. We just sang a song about the church. Gave himself for it. No cross, no empty tomb, no church. That he might sanctify it, set it aside, and cleanse it, make it holy, with the washing of the water by the word, comparing to the word of God to the water that washes away the dirt and the filth from your lives. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. The cross was for you to be presented to Jesus as a glorious church. The cross was the means be how you can be presented to Jesus. He went to the cross and endured the cross for the hope, for the joy that was set before him. And what was that joy set before him? For you to be with him. That he might present himself a church, a called out, separated, organized body of baptized believers. And not just any church, a glorious church. Why is it a glorious church? Because the glory of God dwells in your soul when you get saved. If you don't understand, it says not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. The church. You are the church. You are the lively stones. You are the peculiar people that have been changed by the blood of Jesus and been cleansed and made holy. And he did that for the joy that was set before him and endured the cross so he could be with you. That's why. For the joy that was set before him. He endured the terrible, awful, vile, wicked execution of the crucifixion because he knew what was coming. But the crucifixion had to come first before the joy could come. Now, go back to Galatians. You're in Ephesians. Galatians is right before Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Remember I said his crucifixion and our crucifixion? Now, you haven't been hung to a cross. Crucifixion is an execution. Why is something executed? Except for Jesus, there wasn't nothing wrong with him. But why is there an execution? Because of something wicked and vile and evil, and it doesn't deserve to live, and it needs to be taken out of society. Execution. Well, now we know Jesus was sinless. We know that. But listen, those two thieves on either side of him were. That is the purpose of execution. They don't deserve to live. Now, look here. In Galatians chapter 2. Verse 19. 2:19 of Galatians. For I, this is Paul, through the law, am dead to the law. The law kills. The law, we're all guilty. That I might live unto God. I'm dead so I can live. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for its righteousness cometh by the law, then God is dead in vain. Dead in vain. Listen to this. I am crucified with Christ. Crucifixion is a slow and painful and vile death. We are to, but I live. Dead by the law, but I live. But not me. It's not because of me that I'm living. It's because of Christ is in me. You see, Jesus gave His life on Calvary, went to that tomb 3 days and three nights, but then He came up out of the tomb alive, resurrected, a new person, a new beginning, a glorified body, not restricted by the laws of nature of the human flesh that we are. He came out of that tomb a different person. And John chapter 17 says, going back to the glory that He left in heaven, when He come out of that tomb, he was physically different than what He went to in that tomb. And that when He went to that tomb, He was vile and destroyed and ripped and tore. And His body was destroyed and He was dead. But He come up out of that tomb alive. Before you get saved, you're dead, you're separated from God, you're on your way to hell. But when you receive Jesus, He comes and dwells in your heart, and you have the same life that He had when He came up out of the tomb, because you have the same Spirit dwelling in you that entered back into Him that brought Him out of that tomb. There can be no new life without death. You cannot hang on to the old life and live for Jesus. You have to kill the old life. You have to execute the old life because it doesn't deserve to live. We do not deserve to live with sin in our lives. God has every right to condemn us to hell for an eternity. But for the joy that was set before Him and endured the cross, and what was that joy? To make Himself a peculiar people, to make Himself a glorious church, to make Him a people that love Him. That's why. Let's go on here. This gets better as it goes. Crucified but alive. Jesus was dead, but He's alive today. Are you alive today because of Jesus? We as born-again Christians are to be different than before. Look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. 5:24 in Galatians. And they that are Christ, see the apostrophe S, have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. They that are in Christ have crucified the flesh, which is the afflictions and lust of the flesh. You still have flesh and bone on you, right? But the desires of that needs to be crucified because it doesn't deserve to live. Some of you got smoke coming out of your ears. Hang on. Look in Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ,
by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This must be our attitude to the world. It is worthy of execution, the ways and the desires and the lust of the flesh in the world. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, as we tie all of this together here. Romans chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans chapter 6. Romans 6:4. Remember what we say about baptism? It is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a picture of what takes place in your soul when you get saved. It was dead, it was buried on its way to hell, it got washed by the blood of the Lamb, and it come up a new creature. The water represents the burial of Jesus, and it is also supposed to represent the burial of the old life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. A born-again Christian is a newness of life, a new person born again. Just as Jesus was different when he came out of the tomb, we are supposed to be different after we have crucified the old flesh, after we've been born again by the blood of Jesus, after we come out of the old dead ways of our life, then we are a new creature, a newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, planted, buried, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ is our model that we're supposed to live by. We are supposed to be just as different as Jesus was when he went in the tomb as when he came out of the tomb physically. We are supposed to be that different spiritually. Jesus was perfect before he went into the tomb spiritually. He was perfect when he came up out of the tomb spiritually. But when he went into the tomb, he was bound by the human flesh. When he came up out of the tomb, he wasn't bound by the human flesh. He was a new creature. He appeared in the midst of the room. He walked through walls. He ascended up into heaven. He had holes in his hand and holes in his side from the spear and the nails and all those things. But he was alive. Those were the signs of death. But he was different. We are supposed to be in the likeness of him. Verse 6 of Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Crucified, destruction, destroyed, death. Leave it in the tomb. Leave it in the grave. Don't go dig up that old nature and try and go back to the old ways. That we should not serve sin. What did Jesus say? Whoever you serve, that's who your master is. When we give in to sin, we're allowing the devil to be our master. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If you have not crucified the flesh and the lust and the desires of the world and the old man and the old nature, then you will not be free from sin. You have to kill it to be free from it. As long as you hang on to it, you're not free. As long as you hold on to the own ways, you're not free.
God wants you to be free. God wants you to have the joy that passes all understanding and the peace that passes all understanding. He wants you to have that in your life, but you can't have both.
Verse 8, for if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with Him. Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. It's empty. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. And we are alive and we have Jesus. And we're supposed to be alive. We're supposed to be full of zealous of good works. We're supposed to be a new creature. We are supposed to be alive. A life that never has happened before. You have the life of the Spirit of God. You have a new beginning. You have a new life. You have a new energy. You have a new reason to get up in the morning. You have a new reason to live because you have the life of God dwelling in you. You are alive. You have the everlasting God dwelling in your soul. You have a life that nobody else can have without Jesus. You are alive.
In verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Amen. Death hath no more dominion over Him. He says, you believeth thou thee, thou shalt never die. Talked at Lazarus' tomb. Never die. Jesus will never go to the cross again. Jesus will never suffer for sin again. Jesus will never have to go to the tomb again. He will never have to go through any of that again because He went through it and He defeated the devil at His own game and He defeated death when He came out of that tomb. And you will never die if you have Jesus dwelling in your heart. So don't act like you're dead. Because you are alive.
Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that the living, he liveth unto God. You have to die before you can live. Spiritually. You have to crucify the old nature before you can live again. Jesus had to die before He can endure the joy that was set before, endure the cross before He could have the joy that was set before Him. If He hadn't have died, none of this would happen.
If you're not willing to die to the old way, then you can never live.
Verse 11, likewise, reckoning ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dead but alive. Because that is dead. You've left it in the tomb. It's dead. It's buried. It's corrupt. It's rotten. And now you're alive because you're a new creature. Because you're born again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are different. You are alive.
Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that it should obey it in the lust thereof. The mortal body has lust and desires of things. So we're not supposed to let sin reign in our lives, be our master. Verse 13. Neither yield you members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Dead, but alive.
You have to die before you can live. You have to kill the old before you can have the new. You can't have the old and the new both. They do not exist. They do not go together. They cannot coexist. When you have something dead, it needs to be done away with. Buried and forgotten. Because God died for you and rose from the grave so that you can be alive forever with Jesus. Crucifixion is a very terrible, painful, ugly, vile thing. But you have to be willing to sever that in your life. You have to be willing to execute the old nature, the old lust and the desires of the flesh. You have to be willing. When someone gets an infection, if they don't clean that or cut that arm or that leg or that finger off that's infected, it'll kill the whole body. You've got to get rid of that. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to kill it. You've got to get it out of your life. Otherwise, it will infect and wipe you out. You can't have both. It's got to be one or the other. So many people want Jesus, but they don't want a change in their life. So many people want Jesus, but they're not willing to crucify the old nature. They want to hang on to it. It doesn't work that way. You can have victory in your life, every day of your life, no matter what happens around you, because you are alive. Because nothing can destroy that life that is in you, because that life is of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8. Nothing. You have that in your life. You need to hang on to that in your life. It's real in your life, and it will always be a part of your life if you're saved. No matter what the economy does, no matter what the world does, no matter what happens, you still belong to Jesus. And you still have that life in your body. And no matter what happens to this body, you will never, ever, ever, ever be separated from Jesus. Not even at death. You will be with Jesus. The cross was terrible. But He endured it for the joy that was set before Him. Do you want joy in your life? Do you want the excitement in your life that Jesus had? Do you want that fullness of joy and the peace that passes understanding in your life? Then sever the old nature. And keep your eyes on Jesus. And don't look back. Remember Lot and his wife, Sodom and Gomorrah? Couldn't handle it. She turned around and had to see it one more time. She turned into a pillar of salt. Couldn't handle it. Move forward. It amazes me that people go to the graveyard to talk to somebody. Now listen, I understand mourning and sadness and loss. Oh yeah, I understand all that. But listen, they're gone. They're either in heaven or hell. They're gone. Don't live in the past. It's gone. You can't change it. Move on. You're alive. Act like it. Be excited about who you are. Be excited that you're a child of the King. Be excited that you're going to go to heaven. Be excited that your name's written down in heaven. Be excited that someday you're going to get a glorified body that's worthy to walk the streets of gold. Be excited that someday you're going to see Jesus. Someday you're going to see heaven. Someday. It is a promise. It is a promise of God that He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, even through death. Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. For you. If you're saved. Now you can look at the other people that are not saved. And see why they're so miserable. Because they're not alive. Because they're not willing to die to the old. And live for the new. Let's stand on our feet and have a time of invitation. I don't know how God wants to use this in your life. I wanted to give you something to be excited about. I wanted to give you something to keep you moving and going. I wanted to give you something to realize who you really are. You are peculiar. Amen. That's good. There's nothing wrong with being peculiar and unique. Dear Jesus, we ask as we continue your services that you'll take and move and guide and direct and uplift however you see fit. If there's somebody here that's not saved, tonight will be their night. We ask this in Jesus' name.